Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast, the first one for this bright, shiny new year, 2017, which I think is going to be one of the greatest years yet that we've had in human history. To celebrate, here's a dog.
You think it's going to be this?
There they will go away now. Go away, dogs.
Why do you think it's going to be the best year in human history? Is that what you said?
Yeah. I mean, why not?
Aside from the birth of the year that Jesus was born. And then the year that he died and rose again from the dead.
That was a long time ago, though. Oh, okay. And we didn't have Facebook and Twitter back then.
So it really didn't count.
And so how do you know it existed? I don't even know if it happened because it was not online. So I'm going to go with this year being the greatest year yet. As our son said, maybe we'll get to have World War III this year.
Did he say that?
Yeah, in the car on the way to church.
In an excited way or no?
No, I mean, he sounded somber and like, wow. I probably will never grow up, but no, he wasn't excited. So this week we thought we would talk about, I thought we would recriminate against each other. We'd begin the new year by delineating proper Facebook.
So we're going to have our Festivus, which was the
use. Yes.
Festivus begins with the airing of grievances.
Yeah, we didn't get to celebrate Festivus, and so I thought we would do it now. Because just as we were discussing what to talk about on our podcast, you decided to get on Facebook and post something that is guaranteed to get you hundreds of angry comments.
I don't think that's true. I think that when I post things, they're interesting, and we have every once in a while someone comes up and says something cross ways, but I don't think you always think I'm going to get in fights online, and I don't.
That's because you do it almost every day, and you like to particularly do it over the holiday period. So when I am most wanting you to pay attention to,
I don't think anyone's even going to notice this one because it's so it's.
Why don't you read the title so that we can.
Just, what the title of my
of the article that you just posted.
Well, the title of the article is where is it? Can church be done as Paul mandated in 1 Corinthians 14? No one wants to read that. It's boring.
Okay, and that's why you put it up there.
The article is just talking about how we need to do away with the Bible, or do away with preaching from the Bible. Let that be less of an emphasis, and do away with the whole. Focus on, you know, worship and sacraments, and instead, you know, have people stand up and prophesy to one another and give new revelations and then obey them. So I just put a little comment on.
Yeah.
But I don't think that anyone will
read it. You don't think anybody's going to be angry or decide to get online today and tell you that you're wrong, which
means
that
the person who wrote that article is an Anglican. Can you believe an Anglican said that?
See,
can you believe an Anglican said that?
I can believe it, actually.
He calls himself the Anglican Pentecostal. I'm sure he's a very nice man, but my goodness, this is pagan.
Right.
It's like saying, please, we would like to hear more from the demonic at our church services. How can we do that? Well, let's do it with the Bible and the sacraments and have people stand up and tell us new prophecies they think they're getting from the Holy Spirit. That's a good way to have the devil lead us somewhere else besides to Jesus.
So after you listen to this podcast, you can get right on Matt's Facebook page and tell him what you really think and feel about what he just said. And all
you're
of
the one who writes all this stuff on you are much more prolific of a writer than I am, but it's okay.
I stay away from controversy.
You don't stay away from controversy. You write things on your blog. And people are enraged. You just don't engage with them.
No, I either delete their comments.
You delete their comments, right?
Or
so
put
it's
them
not
up
that
and
you don't
away.
Start fights. It's you don't fight them.
No, I don't like. I don't.
You
think
make people angry and you walk away.
I don't think it's good for women to engage in combat because, and actually, I was thinking just to lob another thing out there, that one reason why perhaps women ought not to preach is because. I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. It's because I actually probably can't say it.
What were you going to say?
Well, this was inspired by that MMA thing that I actually didn't read because it didn't interest me at all. But What if preaching was like MMA? It's like essentially a combat thing that you're doing, and that's why women shouldn't preach, because it's engaging in combat with the devil.
Well, it is kind of that way. I think that's a great way of looking at it.
And okay, but please don't write in and tell me that I'm wrong. I'm really tired.
But I wouldn't say, but the women engage with the devil too in their own sphere, like our children.
Yes, that's true.
And in your writing, you're struggling with.
There's a little bit difference, though. I think like the kind of combat that preaching is just a little bit different than sort of launching a blog post onto the internet or even chatting with somebody coffee hour, which can also be sort of gladiatorial. I obviously haven't thought this through, so I'm
this
gonna
wasn't
just
a topic that we thought we were
gonna
talk
just
about today.
So back off this
I think
one.
You should. Now there you go, throwing bombs, and then you're gonna.
Yeah, I don't really want to engage on this issue.
You should have posted that on Facebook and so on. That's what I would have done.
I'll write about it later, and what I'll do is I'll just put the word sex in the title, and then I'll get a lot of hits. So, well, what I actually wanted to recriminate against in a sort of more general way is that very idea of making New Year's resolutions. But I know that you like to do that. You like to resolve things and do Lenten disciplines and things like that. And so I thought that you should defend your habit of making resolutions, and then I could tell you why you're wrong.
I like to make resolutions because I think that having a goal is helpful, and so I think last year my goal was to begin reading the New Testament in Greek, and I did that instead of reading in English, I read in Greek, and I did, and my Greek reading has increased significantly, or my Greek ability has increased significantly because of that. Of that resolution. This year I'm thinking about making a resolution either to freshen up and learn I've almost completely forgotten the Hebrew that I knew, so do Hebrew, or to read 100 books a week, which is what the Tim Challey's
what did you say?
100 books a year.
Okay.
A year.
Oh, that was God. A
Tim I don't see how it's Tim Challey, that's Tim Challey's is
He does 100 books a year.
I don't see how he does it, though. I mean, that's about 2 books a week.
Does he read them, or does he just, like, glance at
them?
Well,
no, he says he's a copy editor, so he reads them carefully.
Oh, my
I don't
gosh.
See how you do it.
Yeah, I'm a really slow reader. It takes me a couple of hours to read a sentence.
I pull off one a week, but, you know, with the help of Audible. I mean, that's...
So if you listen to one whole book a week, we would never speak... We
That's
would never
true.
Have, you would not. Maybe he doesn't have a family.
He does. He has a family and children.
Well, then something's wrong.
So anyway, when I put...
So those are your two options.
Yeah, but they're not, I mean, see, now here's where I think you're going to, where you make an error in your thinking, because you take these things as law, and then when you don't do them, you feel guilty.
So I made a long list of writing resolutions for myself last year, and I only met half of my goals, let me just say it out loud that I'm a failure.
Right,
a failure who fails.
Right. See, and that's the problem, because I think what you do is you, and I've said this before, Princess, is you're your own.
You're not allowed to be condescending on my podcast.
I'm mansplaining something to
you. I know you are.
You need to listen. What you do is you become your own Pharisee.
Yeah.
You do. You pile little laws on top of yourself that aren't in the Bible, and then when you don't meet them, you condemn yourself.
Yes. Well, that's what the Christian life is for me. That's how I live out my personal relationship with Jesus, which is the substance of the Christian life. That's what we're all trying to do, is have special feelings with Jesus. And the special feelings that I have with Jesus are...
when you show him how good you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
and by adding stuff to his law and doing over and above what he calls it to do.
Right, exactly.
Supererogatory merit.
Yes.
As you're earning.
Absolutely.
So that when you die, you can go
straight
to heaven. You don't go through purgatory, and you can pass along your merit to other people who need it.
Yes, exactly. I'm glad that we can, see, this is your following the command of our bishop to bring the Reformation, which was celebrating in 2017, into every single conversation. Isn't that what he said?
Did he say that? I don't know if he said that. It is.
Whatever you're talking about, just like last year, whatever you were talking about, you eventually came to talk about Trump. It didn't matter what it was, like, what are you going to eat for dinner? I don't know, Donald Trump. In 2017, the word is Reformation. And so whatever you're talking about doesn't matter. You need to bring it up. Right, like you just did
exactly
just there.
500 years ago.
Yes.
Martin Luther.
And this is relevant
nailed
for us
the 95
today.
Theses on the wall. Yes, it's relevant for
it's
us today.
It's so relevant that if you don't bring it into every conversation,
you know why?
So,
you know what?
You're
wrong. You know what the Pope tweeted just yesterday?
Can we please not alienate my one Catholic listener? Please, can you just moderate your
he
tone
said,
right
entrust
there?
Yourself, or entrust the year to Mary so that it will be wonderful this year, something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing, but entrust yourself to Mary, or trust the year and leave the year this year in Mary's hands, and everything will be wonderful. Okay. Who? What did she?
I have a Catholic listener.
I know. I love Roman Catholic people. They're very nice, and I have a.
Today we are gonna tick off the charismatics and the Catholic. And
it's
let's
Roman
see.
Catholic.
Now let's have
Roman,
another
Roman
one.
Catholic,
Roman Catholic.
Catholic.
Who have we not bashed? A Presbyterian.
Right. We haven't done the Presbyterians yet. But.
I have a great affection for Mary. I'd just like to go on record as saying that.
Well, yeah, I have affection for her too, but I don't think she's going to make a year better.
She might.
She's up there worshiping Jesus.
It depends on how desperate we get in the middle of... of the best year ever that we've ever had. Okay, here's why I don't really like resolutions. Because I do like to create laws over other laws. And also, I've actually been helped by making a couple of resolutions over my life. Like, I did decide a couple of years ago that I was going to blog every day.
Yeah, and that's been really great for you.
It turned out to be something that I enjoy more than almost any other thing. So, but when you make a resolution, and then you don't keep it. Okay, let me back up. The problem with making a resolution is that you imagine to yourself that tomorrow is going to be somehow different than today was. And I just read this on Twitter. You need to not think about the sand that's behind you. You need to leap into the ocean that's ahead. You can't cross the ocean unless you leave the shore. Well, okay, that's depends on how you're trying to cross the ocean. Like, are you swimming? Because that's stupid. You're going to just drown. We have this idea of tomorrow somehow being different and you being different. And by the power of just your special differentness, you're going to achieve something wonderful. When really, a resolution takes into account that tomorrow is going to be exactly the same as today was. You have the reality of who you are and the reality of your life. And it's not fresh and bright and amazing.
Yeah, but you can do things that you didn't do yesterday. Like so you can in fact cut down the amount of food that you eat. You can in fact
only if
start an exercise program. You can in fact start reading your New Testament in Greek if you know Greek.
But not because there's something magical about the day or because there's something awesome about you.
I didn't say that.
But that's what I feel like there is out there, and even
you have
in
that
myself,
feeling? You feel that?
I feel when I'm thinking about the future, like it's gonna somehow be different, and I'm gonna be different. I'm gonna be better just because of tomorrow.
Okay, but I don't think that's necessarily
not true.
Worth thinking. I think people are thinking I need to do this because I'm not doing this now.
But so when you make it really vague, like, I'm just going to speak less in 2017.
Okay, well, that's vague.
And I'm going to love more. I'm going to love more. And I'm going to be less bitter. And I'm going to open my wide arms more. Right. And
okay, but now we're talking about... Okay.
That's the kind of resolutions that people are making.
So now we're talking about things that human beings don't have the power to do. Like, you can't... So... I'm going to make myself feel more compassion. That's something that God has to work in you, and you can't gin up on your own. I'm going to make myself love Jesus more, and you know, that's something that God does using the means of grace. You can't do that yourself. So you're bridging over into areas of sanctification that definitely involve God's grace. And well, I guess, you know, losing weight mm-hmm. also requires that.
That's what
but
I'm saying.
There's this...
Even making the determination not to put another cookie in your mouth is in some ways supernatural. Like the supernatural grace of Jesus.
What's wrong with
for
saying,
that.
Okay, Lord, I really would like to lose weight. I'm fat.
Don't say that.
I'm
sorry. I feel like you're talking to me.
No, I've gained a good 10 pounds since Thanksgiving. Probably more, actually. I haven't gotten on the scale because I'm not looking at it right now, and I just it's been crazy. So I need to lose weight beginning tomorrow. I need to get back on my workout routine tomorrow, and so what's wrong with saying, okay, Lord, help me to get up in the morning and fulfill this need that I have to take off the extra lard that I've accumulated over the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks.
I guess there's nothing wrong with it unless you...
Do you just think human beings can better themselves at all? I mean, I'm a Calvinist. I believe in total depravity. But I think that within the realm of human faculty, God has allowed us by grace to have the ability to do things that improve our lives.
Okay, here's the problem. I think every time I do something to improve myself, like, okay, after the last baby, I lost 60 pounds, and I did start writing every day, and I do read the Bible regularly, and I occasionally exercise.
That's pretty big. Those are good things.
But every time I do something like that, it just, some other horrific part of my personality arises on the horizon, and...
Well, right. Well, it's a futile struggle to make yourself perfect.
Well, but there's always, I don't know, every January 1st, there's this Benjamin Franklin, you know, I'm just going to become perfect. This is going to be great.
No, you do that. This is your, okay, now I see the problem, because it's exactly what the problem is with the house.
No, I'm blaming other people. I'm not talking about myself.
See,
I'm talking about others.
I think the people listening to us, you owe the people listening to us an explanation of your personality. Because this is what you do.
No.
You get a big piece of paper. When you feel stressed, you get a big piece of paper and you write every single thing that you have to do down on this piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, I mean, it could be, and it's not triaged. It's not set in order of priority. Oh, this really needs to be done. Like, I promise to have this book written by next week. So I need to put everything else aside and work on this book. It's the book being written, laundry, folding clothes, washing a dish, writing a thank you card, whatever it might be, and they're all of the same importance. So if you don't get that list done, it just hangs over your head.
Yeah.
And because you think that you have to have it perfectly, everything perfectly cleared, and it's never happened to you. And so you live in a constant state of self-hatred.
Yes, that's... the way it's supposed to be.
So for you, the New Year's resolution just fits right into that list. It's like you're writing another thing down on your list.
That's how it's supposed to work.
No,
that's how
you're a Pharisee. You're a Pharisee.
No, I'm not. I'm a regular person.
Binding burdens on your shoulder and not lifting one finger of your own to help yourself lift it.
No, I get you to lift some of it, like complaining bitterly and angrily. Okay, so well, that leads us to our picking each of us of our special word for 2017. What is your special word going to be?
Should we provide some context for the special
I don't know
words?
Really what it is, because I just have seen it. Like, either people pick a saint or they pick a word that they want to define their, I don't know, why do they pick a word? And what is the word? Because if I pick
megachurch pastors do is they pick a word, they go off into the woods and have their Emmaus walk, and the Lord gives them a word.
Do they ever get lost on the Emmaus walk?
The Lord gives them a word for the new year.
What are the words like?
Well, like...
I think elevate.
Elevate, yeah, yeah. What was it? Stephen Furtick's word was... what was it from last year? I can't remember. Transform or something like that. And so that everything in the church then is geared around the word that the vision casting pastor has received from the Lord.
Okay, but ordinary people do too. Like, they'll pick the word grace.
Yeah, okay. And that's supposed to be your word for the... What do you do with that word?
I'm not really sure. I think you're supposed to think about it all the time. You're supposed to become one with the word.
All right, so have you been meditating with the Lord? Downloaded a word for you this week?
It's not a word I can say out loud online. I don't think I should say the word that the Lord revealed to me about 2017 being the best year ever and me being good in the year. Not only will the year itself be a force of good and it will not kill celebrities, 2017 won't kill people the way that 2016 did, but all of humanity will join together in peace and harmony, and I myself will be an outworker good, a force for good through my word that I have been given.
Which you can't say online.
Yeah, I can't have just a single word. I'm too wordy for a single word. I do like to have a motto.
So your idea for the show was that we have a word that we say, and then you don't have a word.
Yeah, I couldn't think of one.
Did you think it would just come to you while we were talking?
Yeah, I did. I was hoping that as we were talking, the word would be like, I guess, maybe Calvin. Or
that's a good word for you. Mine's Reformation. So.
Oh, that's your word. I like to have a motto at the beginning. So for many, many years, my motto was, where are we going and why are we in this handbasket? And then last year, my motto was for my blog. And I tried to think this every day when I was writing. I would think to myself, let me be your morning cup of coffee.
That's such a weird...
So this year... I really did like your thing that you wrote, that Santa wrote on the package of our child. You wrote, may you strike the butterfly of life and taste its sweetness. So I think that's going to be my motto for 2017. Because the idea of striking a butterfly...
and then tasting its fruit. But see, the butterfly in this case was a piñata.
Yeah.
And it did have sweet fruit inside the piñata, so it made sense when she opened the gift.
But it was a butterfly, and butterflies are... supposed to be delicate and
but our daughter smashed it.
So I feel like that's a sort of a good image for the year. That's gonna be my motto.
I don't have a motto. Do you have any predictions for the year?
For the year, I predict that the church
prophecy. I'm sorry, do you have prophecies?
I do have some prophecies. The Lord laid it on my heart that Donald Trump is not going to turn out to be as awesome as everybody thinks he is.
That's really vague. And everyone thinks he's awesome? Is that really true?
A lot of people.
I'm calling Deuteronomy 18 on you right now. You're a false prophet.
And I think that the church is going to continue to fall into terrible heresy.
Okay.
And
our church or some other church?
Probably both. Well, not like Good Shepherd. I hope not Good Shepherd, but probably Anglicanism is gonna, you know what? Here's my prophecy. Anglicanism will rise up like a beacon of truth and beauty, and all other denominations will see how great and awesome Anglicanism is as a way of being Christian and throw aside their worn and shabby denominations to join ours.
Is this before or after we do away with the scriptures and the sacraments and start standing up and revealing our prophecies to one another for us to obey?
I'm going to go ahead and say on both sides of that. It's going to be both before and after. Yeah. And I think in 2017, men and women are going to suddenly get along. And all of the debates about should women exist at all or should men speak in church, all those are going to go away. And we're all going to be united in a dream, a rainbow, a butterfly.
Over which a unicorn is prancing.
Yes. Raining down sweet, sweet morsels of candy.
Right.
That's my prediction for 2017. And maybe Jesus will come back.
That would be good. That would make 2017 a great year.
I'm going to call it. Jesus is going to come back. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah, you better say that.
God is going to reveal to me later the day and the hour. Yeah. Okay, here's the thing I was really discouraged about. I was really hoping that on January 1st, everybody would start talking about something more interesting than men and women and their relationships to each other. But my whole feed was filled with, you know, women speaking and men and women in combat. And how often should we abuse women? Should it be more often or less often? Some people were saying women should never be abused.
That's crazy.
You know, because a lot of people think, you know, it's really good. We should have more abusive women in church.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm delineating my Twitter and Facebook feeds. And I thought to myself, wow, I thought we solved all these problems yesterday in 2016. And so it depresses me that we're still talking about them. And we will through the year, and then we'll do it again in 2018 until Jesus actually does come back. We're not going to talk about anything new. We're not going to have any...
Sweetie, you wouldn't have a blog if this wasn't going on.
I just feel like
women are arguing about their roles and places.
Only so many times I can say, don't kill all the women or don't kill all the men before people are going to get tired and go read somebody else.
But you know yourself, you have lots of readers who still think it's odd that anyone would think that men are in any way dehumanized in our culture.
I don't see how you could not notice that.
Well, you've given me conversations you've had with people who, you say that and they look at you like, what are you talking about? Women need to be treated as equals and men are the great oppressors and let's destroy the patriarchy. You have Christian women who think this.
Well, I just think that's, well.
And if you didn't have that to write about.
Well, I wouldn't have no blog.
There you go. So you don't want the women.
You don't want this to be solved?
Not unless Jesus comes back and you want to vlog anyway.
Oh, that's going to be really sad. No blogging in the millennium.
Right. Why wouldn't... I mean, I would think that would be a constant source of conversation in any culture, would be the relationship between men and women, because we're both enemies and we really like to be together.
Yeah. No, but doesn't that depress you? It's like reading the Bible one more time. You're like, oh, I'm going to do it again.
See, that doesn't depress me, Super.
I'm going to do the laundry over now. I'm going to have the same conversation that I had 10 minutes ago.
The Bible, back up.
You should be able to read the Bible, and then that's it. I read it.
The Bible
what
is
more
the means
can
by
I...
which God makes you complete as a believer in Jesus Christ, so it's not like the laundry.
It can be kind of discouraging, though. No, it's exactly like the laundry.
No, you know, the laundry doesn't make you complete as a believer in Jesus Christ.
No, but you have to, in some ways...
It's not breathed out by God.
You have to keep doing it, though, or you can't just do it and then call it done. Nothing in life is like that. That's my problem with... January 1st, because it's supposed to be a new time where we do new things, but actually we do the same things that we've always done, and we do them again. That's the heartbreak of time, the inexorable march of time. You should be able to do new things, eat new candy, strike a new butterfly, and actually you just have to keep hitting the same old butterfly over and over again.
It's Ecclesiastes.
I know. And it should depress you.
No, the wonderful thing about Ecclesiastes is that I like that things go in the cyclical way. And Solomon says, well, the best thing to do is just to have a nice meal, which we love to do. So it's in the Bible.
You have to clean it up again. The same meal, you clean it up again and again.
That's why we have children. That's why we have, that's why men and women get together and have children.
So that they can stop.
And they get together later on in their lives with their wives and husbands and get have children who clean up the meals. And then and then when we're older, we don't want to clean up meals anymore, we go to their house.
And then finally we die.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, that's good.
There's nothing better for us under the sun than
doing that.
Eating and having nice things to drink and making our children clean up after us.
That's a good motto for 2017. Mm. Let the children clean.
Let the children clean for me instead of the children come to me.
Let the children clean.
For me.
For me. I think that's good. Do you have anything else you'd like to... what are your predictions for 2017? I've made mine. What are your prophecies?
Let me consult my heart for a moment. In my gut.
My heart tells me.
The Lord is telling me that.
You're about to commit blasphemy. That's what he's telling you.
Wow, I don't know. And it's such an uninteresting thing for me.
What do you think is going to happen?
I think. On January 17th, that Donald Trump will be inaugurated as the...
I think it's the 20th. 40,
oh.
So that would be amazing if you...
If I got that right. There you go. The 17th.
He's going to be inaugurated.
And it was... God just put that in my mouth.
Okay, I look forward to that.
Okay.
Because the 17th is a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
Right.
What else?
What
kind of president is he going to be?
Let me see. I've got to consult my heart again. I feel like the Lord's telling me that Trump is going to be a president who is like Cyrus and David. And
who were not presidents.
Right, but he's going to be a man after God's own heart. And he's going to...
Why, if God is
like a... He's going to put the Bible back in our classrooms and the Ten Commandments back on the White House wall or on the courthouse walls. And he's going to make daisies pop up in barren fields and streams flow where there once were deserts.
Wow. And God in this scenario is like a large orange balloon in the sky.
Right. I was telling you about the prophecy that I read.
Yeah, that he's Cyrus.
This one was the David prophecy that he's.
Oh, reading. I missed it.
Chris Roseborough was playing it on a show. Did you hear it?
I don't think so.
So this guy in 2011 was saying, prophesying, well, that Trump's going to be the next president of the United States. He's a man after God's own heart, and he is David. And the Jim Baker show was reading this prophecy out before back in
2011
back in March of this year.
Oh, this year.
And
but they didn't know it was from 2011.
No, they read that it was from 2011. They just said this prophet. Hey, he got his year wrong.
Okay.
But
here he is.
Right. So it's okay. You know. Yeah. God sometimes makes mistakes. He doesn't. Get the years right. He just
what?
You know, he's the Holy Spirit needs some help to figure out dates sometimes. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, if you're eternal, you can't really figure out
or perfect how time works. Or omniscient or omnipotent.
So he got the year wrong, but he got the basic gist of it right. The Trump was going to be president.
Well, I called that Trump was going to be president back in March as well. And I would just like to point out yet again that I did call it. When I saw Donald Trump's face on the television at Easter time, probably for the first time because I didn't really know who he was, I looked at his face and I said, there is the icon of the American soul. He's definitely going to be president. And I'm still waiting for congratulations to flow in. I'm waiting for people to say, how did you know, Anne? What portion of your soul did God speak to reveal this special knowledge? Actually, I think it was just a reasonable guess. Just look at it, Trump. Of course he's going to be president.
I was flabbergasted and shocked.
You didn't believe me. I feel like it was inevitable. Trump was absolutely inevitable. You can't have anyone else but Trump.
I don't know why that's true.
You can't.
I thought that I really did think that whoever was nominated by on the Republican side, if it, except for Trump, would have beaten Hillary Clinton. That was my thought going in. And when Trump was nominated, I thought, oh, we nominated the one person who is unable to beat Hillary Clinton.
No, but and, you talk all the time about how God picks your perfect representative. So Adam was our perfect representative. God chose him because he did what each and every single one of us would do. And he perfectly, he did that perfectly. Adam perfectly did what each of us would do in rebellion against God, right? So I think we really do, in some spiritual way, we pick the person that best reflects us. So when we picked, Bill Clinton to be president, we picked somebody who was really, I think, a good icon of where America was at that point and what they thought was valuable and important. And I think that that goes for Trump. You look at him and you think this, yes, he just very, very perfectly reflects what Americans think is valuable and important. And we should rejoice that it's so obvious to the world what kind of people we are in a spiritual sense. As I keep saying, you cannot kill 50 million babies and have anything less than Trump as your president. You can't.
Okay, well, let's just pretend that my prophetic utterance a minute ago is correct in some of its details, and that Trump actually turns out to do good things. Like, I have been extremely, shockingly surprised by the good appointments that he's made. And, you know, I love that he put this, I forgot her name, the education secretary, who is pro-homeschooling and school choice.
You're now going to alienate all our listeners because a lot of people are really mad about her.
I don't care. I love her. I think she's awesome.
And you don't know anything about her.
I know that she wants to dismantle all of the difficulties that surround homeschooling and private schooling and school choice. And that will be terrible news for the education establishment, which is great.
Yeah, I kind of am with you, but I don't believe that she's going to do it. It's hard for me to believe that they're going to do any of these things.
See, no, he's making some. We're now talking about politics. We didn't mean to do this, but he's making some pretty good appointments. I think I'm pretty happy about all of them.
That doesn't make him okay. No, I mean, I think God will do good when He chooses to do good, and He will have judgment on us when He chooses to have judgment. But you can't look at Trump and say that he's a good man.
No,
that he's a moral person.
And absolutely not.
I think you can look at him and say he reflects. He does reflect the American character and value about what's important. He does do that. And I, as I keep saying, I don't think it's good for us that the economy gets better and things get better because we're in such grave, grave sin. I think if things get better and the economy gets better, that's part of increasing judgment of God because it'll make us harder, even harder for us to repent of our
That's possible.
Sin. I think it's a heaping up of judgment, personally.
Well, that's possible. But we don't know the mind of God.
Oh, no. No, no. We can know.
Well, no, we don't know what he's doing right now.
No, no. You just need... He's going to give you a word. Open up your spirit.
All right.
Just come on. Don't be such a curmudgeon.
That just reminded me you put my mind right back at that article. It's just driving me insane.
All right. Well, we are so glad that you listened to this podcast for this new, fresh, shining year. And I'm sure that we'll be back next week complaining about something. And I hope that you all had a really happy new year and a Merry Christmas and that you leave your tree up for another 4 days at least. So, happy new year.